This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The USDA World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates were released on Friday with no surprising numbers, according to Dennis Wiesman with CHS. Dennis works in grain marketing, and we talked Friday about what the report told us, market trends, and advice for farmers.
Well, actually, pretty much what I think the trade was expecting. It wasn't really looking for much changes in the USDA numbers, and that's basically what they got was there was no changes in any of the USDA numbers. Carryouts were all left the same. Of course, in December, they don't do any adjustments on the production side, so it would have had to been all anything that they would have wanted to adjust on the demand side of the equation. We did see the world supplies, though, increase on corn, beans, and wheat as all carryout numbers were increased. World carryout on corn was increased basically by 3 million metric ton, and that was based on increased production expectations in Brazil.
So from the sounds of it, we're not probably going to see a big increase in market prices based off of what we saw in the report today.
No, nothing there for the market today. I guess you could say, you know, there was nothing bad for the market today to speak of, so that's one good way, I guess, to look at it. But as far as anything there that's going to cause us to rally the market, no. And basically, probably really in all honesty, 15, 20 minutes after report numbers were out, the focus quickly, you know, switches back to watching the weather in South America.
Is that what's going to continue to be the trend and what we're going to need to be watching in order to see any sort of change in the markets, or what's the look ahead looking like?
Yeah, I mean, that is the trend. I mean, particularly for soybeans, I think when we look at how the bean market's reacting, you have to revert back to this past spring. And we went into spring of 2016, and traders, for the most part, were on the short side of soybeans, and we ran into some weather concerns. And they were being short, had to buy those positions back, and that gave us the big rally on beans last spring. So I think conversely, traders are saying, well, we don't want to be on the short side of soybeans this year. We want to be on the long side of the market already in case there's a problem in South America that they already have ownership. Problem with that is if you don't have any weather concerns in South America, there's plenty of room for beans to go down at some point in time, probably a dollar or more after the first of the year if their weather's doing okay over there. But in the meantime, we'll take it. I think beans on the board of trade are still running about $1.40 higher than they were a year ago at this time. And with a record U.S. crop, you sit there and kind of wonder, you know, why in the world would that be? But, hey, we'll take it. It's given our producers a great opportunity to sell beans and lock in profit. And, you know, we just haven't seen that in the corn market so far.
Any advice for farmers in the near term on things that they should be doing while marketing their grain?
Well, I mean, our advice has basically been for several months now, we think we want to be sellers of beans. I mean, when you look at the yields that most producers had this year and you look at the current soybean prices, it's a great opportunity for them to be locking in some profits and making sure they get a good return on their soybeans. Corn, on the other hand, we've kind of been, advocating the guys to be patient. We did not look for corn market to do anything after the market. After the harvest, it has not. We really don't look for the corn market to do anything probably till February or March. It's not going to be a big move up, but we hope to see levels by then higher than we are today, and then we'll get more serious about concentrating, on marketing our corn. Other thing we've been telling people is it's never too early to start looking at new crop prices. Had the opportunity to sell January of 18 corn above $4, and you've had the opportunity to hedge November soybean futures in the 1030 to 1040 areas. So those are areas that producers should be looking at for next year already.
Well, good advice there, Dennis. And I know harvest has been done for a little while now. How has storage been? I know in Shipman you do store some grain there. Did you have any issues? Did you put up temporary storage, or how did things go?
Well, I mean, we ended up with all our elevators full. Yields were very good, both corn and beans. And, of course, we did have a ground pile up at our Louder facility this year. We filled our new building there at Carrollton. So, I mean, the yields were very good, and demand for storage was very strong this fall.
All right. Well, that all sounds good. Anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to mention?
Well, I mean, I think we just go again. I guess I can't stress it enough that we want to make sure we start thinking about looking at, you know, next year's prices. I mean, got a lot of guys are worrying about their expenses, and they're sitting around, I think, trying to figure out how they can shave a dollar off here, a dollar off there, or their input costs. And that's fine. We need to look at those kind of things, too. But I think they also need to be looking at their cost of production, and when there's a price out there that, that fits that and gives them a, you know, reasonable rate of return, it's never too early to start looking at making some of those sales.
Dennis Wiesman of CHS and Shipman. Well, a blog by the Washington Post says if President-elect Donald Trump pursues a major crackdown on illegal immigration, prices of some fruits and vegetables may soar higher. Trump has promised a crackdown on the 11 million undocumented immigrants in the U.S. However, a deportation effort would take workers away from agriculture. Undocumented workers account for 67% of people harvesting fruit and 61% of all employees on vegetable farms, and as many as half of all workers picking crops. Ag economists say an interruption in the workforce would ripple throughout the food system. Some of the effects feared include farm bankruptcies, labor shortages, and high-priced food items. The Washington Post even ponders that a crackdown on immigration could lead to more food imports from other nations, undermining Trump's effort to boost American industry. Still, farm labor accounts for only a small share of most foods, about 1.6 cents of every dollar on average. An Agriculture Department Economic Research Service economist predicts the impact of stricter immigration policy on grocery costs overall would be very small. Looking at another USDA report, a report released last week shows 99% of U.S. farms were family farms in 2015. Family farms, according to the USDA, are classified as a farm where the principal operator and his or her relatives own the majority of the business. The report shows that small family farms, those with less than $350,000 in annual gross cash farm income, accounted for about 90% of U.S. farms, half of all farmland, and a quarter of the value of production. Mid-size and large-scale family farms, which have at least $350,000 in gross farm cash income, made up only 9% of U.S. farms, but contributed the most of the value of production. Over the past 25 years, production has shifted to mid-size and large-scale farms. However, small family farms did produce a relatively large share of two commodities in 2015, and that was 57% of all poultry and eggs, and 52% of the nation's hay crop. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.